Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinsing, episode 229. This is the weekly podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. I promised a few weeks ago that the 2016 Field to Vase dinner tour dates and farm venues were about to be announced, and today is the day. The team behind the celebration of American-grown flowers has been hard at work, and in the past few weeks, they've given me a sneak peek to what's in store. As a sponsor of the Field to Vase Dinner Tour, it is my privilege to help select a Slow Flowers florist as the featured designer for each event. And I'm especially proud that the Field to Vase Dinner Tour is committed to only working with florists who are listed and active on slowflowers.com. That philosophy is 100% in alignment with the other priority of holding dinners on farms that are certified American grown. Please check out deborahprinsing.com to see the just released tour schedule for 2016. I hope to see you at one of these very special gatherings where we'll raise awareness and show support for America's flowers from east to west and in between. We'll be dining at 10 flower farms in the coming year. The announced list includes 7 confirmed venues, and I'll add the other 3 down the road as we learn of them. Here in Seattle this week, I'm part of all the fabulous Flower House activities featuring creator Lisa Wadd. And Lisa is a past guest of this podcast, as you know. If you haven't seen the announcements, Lisa is on her West Coast tour, beginning with a master design class taught yesterday, a wonderful Slow Flowers hosted dinner last night, and a lecture this morning at the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market. There is an entire calendar of events at the Flower House website, and I will have links at deborahprinsing.com to share with you as well. Earlier this week, in Lisa's newsletter to her Flower House subscribers, she made a bold, totally inspiring proclamation, and I want to share it with you here. Under this heading, Pot and Box New Year's Resolutions, Lisa wrote this: "As you probably know, I also have a floral design and horticultural decor business called Pot and Box. This business will run the farm on the site of Flower House, growing gorgeous cut flowers for the Detroit area events and weddings we provide floral arrangements for. More on that as we get closer to breaking ground in spring. What I'm proud to tell you is that as a result of the immense enthusiasm and support for the project's commitment to American-grown flowers and plants, I am making the same commitment with my business. Effective immediately, Pot and Box is committed to sourcing local and American-grown flowers and plants, as well as going foam-free to reduce our waste and to avoid working with dangerous chemicals. I'm really looking forward to designing with domestically grown and natural products." If you are looking for a florist with the same commitment, you can find them on the Slow Flowers directory, of which Pot and Box is a proud member. Wow, thanks so much, Lisa. Your leadership will inspire many, many others in our community with the words you wrote this week on your newsletter. I hinted at today's guest during the 2016 Floral Insights and Industry Forecast episode earlier this month, when I highlighted American-made goods for florists as one of the 10 influential themes of the year. I give Ann Graves, Marketing Director of Syndicate Sales, a lot of credit for stepping up and placing a USA-made focus on the products her company manufactures. Syndicate Sales is a leader in the manufacturing and distribution of floral hard goods in the U.S. Syndicate employs nearly 300 people in Kokomo, Indiana, making it the largest family-owned local business in that town. The company was co-founded by Delmar Earl Damari Sr., affectionately called Pap. Today, Pap's granddaughter, Laura Scheinel, serves as president, continuing the values of stewardship, hard work, as well as honoring customers, creditors, and employees at Syndicate Sales. As you'll hear in our conversation, Syndicate has taken new steps to feature and promote its vast selection of Made in the USA vases for florists. I've gotten to know Ann Graves over the past few years, and I'm very impressed with the decisions she and her colleagues have made to highlight these products in their catalog and on their website. I know you'll enjoy listening to our conversation and meeting Anne. Visit DeborahPrinzing.com to see a gallery of arrangements from last year's Field to Vase dinner tour. They combine American-grown flowers with Syndicate's American-made vessels. What a perfect partnership.
Welcome back to the Slow Flowers podcast, and I'm delighted today to introduce Anne Graves, the marketing manager of Syndicate Sales, who I've gotten to meet in person and virtually over the last year or so. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so intrigued with your story and your company's story, and it's sort of special because all of our listeners are, of course, in the floral industry, and probably many people are recipients of the Syndicate Sales Catalog and do business with Syndicate Sales. But it was new to me when I first met you, I believe at the Chapel Designers Conference in 2014, and you were there to basically reach out to florists. That's sort of what your job is, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. Syndicate's been around since 1946, and they do a great business, and yet there's so many new facets in the floral industry in general that are completely untapped. So it was actually via Instagram, I think, that we met Holly and made that connection, and then that's how you and I met. And we've since just sort of organically grown through this new, you know, the social media world, which is really powerful stuff.
Absolutely. And what is your background? Do you have a floral design background, or are you one of those marketing whizzes who can promote anything?
I definitely do not have a floral background. I don't know if I'm a marketing whiz either, but it's sort of a hodgepodge, like nomadic, typical millennial journey. I worked for in fashion, right out of college, majored in art history, worked for a software developer, video game company in Boston, and then did just multiple different public relations type roles in all sort of creative industries. And I've been with Syndicate now for just over 2 years. So it's my first foray into floral. I have a major learning curve that I'm still kind of climbing up.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting because they all do seem to knit together to have technology and communications and fashion. I mean, that's design, right? So it translates well over to floral, because my background's in fashion, too. I have an undergraduate degree in textiles, and I worked at 17 Magazine, and I thought I was going to be a fashion journalist, and somehow I am a floral journalist.
Somehow we're on this podcast.
Exactly. Well, so Anne, tell me about this venerable American company, Syndicate Sales. How has this company grown over the decades, and what's its history?
Sure. So Syndicate is a manufacturer, distributor, and importer of hard goods to the floral industry. That is quite a mouthful, but it's basically everything that's not perishable
right.
in a cooler or at a wholesale florist. We are based in Kokomo, Indiana, which is about 60 miles north of Indianapolis.
So, Anne, give us some background and history about Syndicate Sales. I know it's an established American manufacturer with a really impressive history in Middle America, right?
Yes, absolutely. Syndicate is a manufacturer and importer and a distributor of all things hard good floral related, which is a total mouthful. It's hard to just breathe by it. But we just basically sell everything except for the flower. And our goal is to be a resource for the entire floral industry. It was founded in 1946 up in Kokomo, Indiana. The company's still there. We've grown from just selling aqua tubes, those little green tubes that are, you know, you use. They're very utilitarian, but that's where our business began.
You're kidding. And that was your first purchase with product? Those little tubes that you
Swim
in? Oh, wow. That's interesting.
It was. And then it went to the cardette, which is the piece of plastic that holds the card in, that's like the greeting in your pearl arrangement.
I never knew that had a name.
I mean, why? It's like a commodity. It's just so that's what's been really amazing, especially as someone who I don't have a floral background. You just keep unraveling these layers of this onion, and it's like, oh my gosh, that too. Anyway,
cool.
Still family owned today, and we've got about a million square feet. Facilities in Kokomo. I've got around 250 employees, fleet of 18-wheelers, and making vases.
So that's right. So Kokomo, of course, I just have to chuckle and say, you know, anybody who's watched The Muppets remembers Kermit singing about Kokomo, Indiana. I mean, that's how I place it on the map. I'm sure that's a tired joke for you guys.
Exactly. No, not at all. It's either that or the Beach Boys song, depending on your mood.
Well, I guess the Muppets took the Beach Boys song. Okay, that makes sense. They recast it, I guess, as a children's song.
Either way, yeah, we joke and call it Kokomo Beach because it's always so tropical there.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that everybody is so, you know, has an attention on what's happening with the American manufacturing landscape. So in Kokomo, you still have a manufacturing facility that creates a lot of hometown jobs, it sounds like.
Yes, it is amazing. And it's not something that I see every day, but when I'm in Kokomo and the time that I've spent in walking around the warehouse or in our mold room, et cetera, it's like, you know, they're humans that are working the line. It's human beings that are, you know, that have families that maybe have worked for 30 years for Syndicate and call it home and call Kokomo home. And it's pretty amazing that all of that is still hubbed in Kokomo, Indiana, where, you know, it's just all kinds of different options for manufacturing nowadays. And I think it's just built into the DNA of this company to be part of Kokomo, Indiana, and part of USA.
Right. Well, that's sort of what prompted our friendship, is that we've had many discussions about the opportunity to differentiate some of your product lines that are USA made, because there seems to be this really exciting cultural shift going on where, of course, we know that there's exciting growth in small floral farms, flower farms around the U.S., the farmer florist trend and all that. But also there's this shift, it seems, in more and more florists wanting to source their flowers domestically and locally. And the next extension to that, it makes sense to say, where are my hard goods coming from? And some things I know are virtually impossible to get domestically because so much manufacturing has gone overseas. I mean, the example I keep giving in the gardening industry is those knit gloves that are dipped in rubber. You know, the palm is in rubber, but the glove is sort of like a little tight, snug-fitting, wonderful thing to work. I use them in floral design as well, especially if I'm working with something with sap on it. But that product is simply not available from a U.S. factory. You have to get it from Vietnam or Singapore or some Asian source. Luckily for most of you, many of your categories you guys market, it's still, vases are still partly available USA made. And now people are taking note of that in your catalog, right?
Yeah, and it was, it was you specifically who really helped me and my team to have a light bulb moment. It's like we took, you know, we talked to you over 2 years ago now at the Chapel Design Conference in New York. And yeah, you spoke about the Slow Flowers movement, and we're just, Millie and I were sitting there like just hit over the head with it. Like, oh, wait, we have like hundreds and hundreds of SKUs that are made in America. We weren't even thinking that was a, you know, something to talk about. So
yeah, that's your story. That's a really cool part.
Everybody's too busy trying to like get through their inbox that it's like, we do that.
So how did you like drill down on that and do something a little bit more specific to promote those products?
Well, it kept refocusing. And then it really came to a head when we also via Instagram saw our product that was featured at one of the Field to Vase dinners, one of the first ones.
Right, a couple years ago, yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was just all laid out for us. All the dots just connected, and it was like, oh my gosh, we have got to call whoever's on the other end of this and tell them, you know, we've got plenty more to go around. And if you have more dinners and more flowers that you need containing, then let us help you. So it was just later on in last spring or summer when we went through the exercise, I did with my creative team of saying, hey, could you pull all of the USA-made SKUs in the catalog and put them together so that they're all in one place. And turns out there are hundreds and hundreds of SKUs of all kinds of different styles, colors, finishes, and they're all made domestically.
Yeah. There are some beautiful, I mean, there's classic kind of, they'll never go out of circulation shapes that maybe retail florists are, you know, habitually using because they're like the perfect size for delivering, you know, a small, medium, or large arrangement. But there's also some really kind of more contemporary shapes as well. And I got to know the line more closely because I was working on the Field to Vase dinner this past year and trying to document what the florists, the feature florists, were selecting for the tablescapes. And a lot of, I don't know, you know, perhaps what their criteria was, but I think in most cases it was something that had a relatively low profile so that you could do floral arranging in a situation where people are going to be conversing across the table and wanting to enjoy the flowers but not be blocked by them. Also, wide opening that would hold a lot of flowers and have that real lush farm look. And in most cases, they were clear glass, but people were also using colored glass. So then that kind of changed the feel of the design as well. You've seen the photos.
It's amazing to see the ways that different people, you know, see how to put together a bunch of dahlias or some random peppers in a bubble ball.
Exactly. So I think that what we'll do is we'll put some of those photos on the show notes of this podcast at deborahprinzing.com because there's some really lovely unexpected designs. The Rose Bowl is sort of one of your classics, right? It's I don't know, kind
Absolutely.
Of a ball shape, really, isn't it?
Yes. And they come in all sizes, and it's sort of just perfect for showing off a flower that you've maybe is like a heritage breed or you've been working on and, you know, you've just put your blood, sweat, and tears into. You don't want the vase just needs to be.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for a lot of these basic, just clear glass pieces.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was so curious about because the Rose Bowl is sometimes there's a round one and in terms of shape, and then one that has a very sweet little foot on it, which maybe just has a different profile. Were they called Rose Bowls because florists traditionally use those for rose arrangements, or do you have any idea where that name came from?
I do not know the answer to that.
All right, we're going to put this question out to the audience because there's got to be someone listening who's like, oh, my grandmother had a flower shop, you know, and that's what we always call them. And, you know, we'll get the answer to that. I was curious when I first saw the name because, of course, there's some that are very obvious, like the gathering base. Okay, that says what it does. That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
The one that I was the most intrigued by, to be perfectly honest, was when of the field of base dinners was the ones that Andrea Gagnon of Lindale Farms chose. She's in Gainesville, I think it's called Gainesville, Virginia.
Yes.
She chose the terrarium, which really surprised me. But
love that.
Yeah, really impactful.
Oh, it was surprising and a little, you know, it's delightful to see it. Planted up as a terrarium. She didn't use the lid, but it was just this beautiful overflowing hydrangeas in the open field with the barn in the background. She really did some beautiful work.
Right. I really like that too. And you're right. She took the lids off, set those aside, and just used the container, but it was this really substantial weighted feeling of this isn't going to blow over in the wind. It's got a lot of it can handle those woody stems that are larger because it's got a lot of volume itself. And for some reason, just the way they were placed on the table, they didn't block people either. And it might have been because where the designers placed them, it was between where people were seated rather than directly in front of your eye. But they turned out really well, and that was kind of a cool surprise. Anyway, I think the creativity is what probably inspires you every day to see what people do with your products, right?
Yeah, it's just seeing the photos from the Field to Vase series alone has been just a really refreshing and exciting way for our whole team or anybody who's on Instagram, I guess, to have an aha moment and say, oh, we can do that. We can do that too.
Well, I think it's we're kind of dancing around the exciting news, and that is since you're going to feature some of those, some of that photography in your 2016 product catalog, right?
Yes, and that was, these photos just kept coming out, and we had to just reach out and say, please, can we use these? And the Heather Saunders work was really amazing, and so we've got some beautiful photography that showed up in our catalog, which has just gone online.
Oh, great. Yeah, now, so Heather shot the dinner at the Flower House Field to Base Dinner in Detroit. And then many of the other photos were taken by Linda Blue, who is a staff photographer for the California Cut Flower Commission. And Linda's just all the California venues. She also shot the Seattle dinner and the Colorado dinner. So a lot of that, probably I just want to give her credit too, a lot of those images were hers. And then the Portland dinner was shot by Lori Black, who's a photographer I work with all the time with for Better Homes and Gardens. So we've got all these talented, you know, creatives on, you know, coming at their own interpretation of a vase filled with flowers, which is really lovely because it gives
so many talents.
And you were really smart when you suggested that you could use these photos throughout the year in social media and tag the designers and the farms. So we'll add
that. Right. Well, that's really what we want to do. I mean, we see this as a really awesome opportunity to not only connect ourselves with the group at large, but for everybody to sort of stay in touch and, mm-hmm. you know, to make these connections.
So you were just mentioning, and I didn't follow through on it, but the catalog, the 2016 catalog is available online right now. And so what is that website that people would go to see it?
It is live on syndicatesales.com, and there's a tab that says 2016 catalog, so you can flip through right on the screen, or there's a link up at the top right that says catalog requests. So if you wanted to see it in sprint, then you can just fill out the form and we'll send you one.
Oh, okay. So you do a print version and an online version then?
Yes, the print version is mostly in transit at the moment.
Okay, so
any minute to everybody on our list.
Well, by the
like
time
this earlier, we have a lot of new spaces and places, especially through the summer's events and the Field to Vase store. So we hope to get some new requests.
Oh, absolutely! And so this is going to run in January. So if anybody has already requested their catalog, they'll probably have already received it. But if you're just hearing this for the first time, this is an opportunity to go log on to syndicatesales.com, see the new catalog. If it's something you need in your hot little hands, you can request it. And this is, of course, for to the trade. Is that correct? You don't sell direct to the consumer. This is all for professional
floors.
That's
correct.
Okay. How do most people, before I ask that question, I want to ask this question. Ian, in the catalog, there's some way that you indicate USA made, right, on the product page? Or how do people,
yes.
What do people need to look for?
There is an American flag, alas, that is on, it's like some little icons that are below the products on the product pages in the back.
Great. So people can kind of double check if there's something they're interested
yep.
in.
Yeah, okay. You just look for the American flag.
Well, I feel like it's a huge opportunity if you had a couple examples I can think of. If you have a retail shop, you can certainly say, we only use USA-made vases, or please request a USA-made vase. We've got a wonderful selection. If you're doing weddings and events, you can work that into your offerings with, for a wedding, for example, or a bride who's wanting local flowers, you can add this facet of service in to say, and we also, we'll pair the local flowers with domestic USA-made vases. Seems like just another way to increase your sales and make your customer happy, right?
Absolutely, and just to fulfill the value proposition of this is American-made or this is local, this is domestic, it just fulfills the entire equation.
Well, I agree with you completely. And honestly, if you're going to go to all that effort to source your flowers from a U.S. flower farm, which we know is, easier than ever before, but it still, in some cases, takes work depending on where you live and where you're located. If you're going to go to all that effort, then put those flowers in a vase that it sort of continues that story. And I love what you said, value proposition. It is a value to the customer. You're helping them get that kind of conscious consumer choice satisfied. So I love that you have a little flag in the catalog. And so that's for people to kind of research what options there are from Syndicate Sales. Once somebody has sort of gotten excited and said, oh, this is what I'm interested in, how do they go through the process of buying these vases? What is your typical setup that most people would be familiar with?
A typical setup is through the wholesale florist. So,
and there's probably hundreds in the U.S. that you sell through, right?
Yes. I'm not sure the exact number, but across the U.S. and in Canada.
Okay.
And through the traditional channel. Then there are other ways that we've gotten products to folks as we like to do some cause marketing and so sometimes we just donate.
Yeah.
In way smaller batches though.
Well, I don't want everyone to I don't want you to be inundated with donation requests.
I know I was.
I do want to publicly thank you for donating some beautiful vases to the event that I did at the Garden Writers Association, which was our national conference in Pasadena. We made this big effort to have this hands-on floral design workshop using all California-grown flowers. We were in Pasadena, obviously, so we got them in the state. And then you provided some beautiful vases that people could learn that there's a manufacturer in Indiana who's making American-made vases. And that was really fun to educate people in the horticulture world about that. So, in fact, one of my friends is based in Indianapolis, and she's very interested in connecting with you for a story. So I got to follow up on that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. That was it's great to put our stuff out there and, again, just reach out to untapped audiences.
Well, I think it's exciting. And the other ways people can interact with you really is following you on social media, because with your new kind of focus, it sounds like you're doing a lot more connecting with florists in these non-traditional ways who maybe haven't necessarily been on your radar, I guess, before social media connected you with them, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like we just can't even help ourselves anymore.
So you're managing the Instagram and account for the company. What is that account?
Yes, I am. It's at Syndicate Sales, and we invite questions or any inquiries beyond what you see in the catalog to either our Instagram or our Facebook page. And I'd even like to offer up my personal email address, because there's so many different opportunities that come about, and we'd love to welcome them.
Okay, great. And that's agraves@syndicatesales.com, A for Ann, and then Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S. And I'll also put that link on our show notes at zephyrprinting.com. I'd love to just and we'll put a gallery of photos of some of your most popular USA-made vases on my show notes and links, so people can come over and get that catalog and start having a conversation with you about, some other, other projects people might be working on, or samples or designs that might be, a way to educate more people in the industry about how to incorporate some of these particular product lines. I'm really surprised at the diversity of what you're able to offer, and I love that there's still a factory in the U.S. making glass vases that the florists can use. It really makes me happy that I don't just have to go shop vintage anymore.
Right? Yeah. Skip the flea market. Don't skip the flea market.
Yeah, there's a place for that, too. Great. Anne, is there anything else I didn't ask you about that we should highlight?
I don't think so, Deborah. This has been so much fun. My first podcast.
Great. Well, we will we'll kind of kick off the year by highlighting Syndicate as a really valuable resource to the floral industry, especially people who are really consciously sourcing domestically. And I think it's just, again, part of a conversation that will be ongoing for you and me in the future. So when you have new things to announce, be sure to keep me posted.
I will.
And, yeah, thank you so much, Anne. I really appreciate it. It's been great to talk with
thanks
you.
Thanks, Deborah, and thanks for all that you're doing.
Oh, you bet. It just makes, I don't know, why I get up in the morning. It makes me happy.
Me too.
Okay.
Well, take care.
Okay. Thanks, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining me today, and check out our show notes at deborahprinzing.com, where you can find details about our special podcast giveaway. Syndicate is offering one listener $100 worth of American-made, USA-made product. Anne will work directly with the winner to process your choices and ship the goods directly to you. So, how to get in on this? Post a comment on this episode's show notes at deborahprinzing.com by 5 p.m. January 27th, and you'll be entered into the drawing. The winner will be announced in our February 4th episode. You can also find a link to Syndicate's catalog, details about the Syndicate Stars program, and the social places where you can connect and follow this American maker. Lots of cool gatherings are going on at this time of year. We've recently heard about the Maryland Flower Farmers Meeting, the Ohio Flower Farmers Meetup, and now I'm excited to share the announcement of 2 days in Oregon taking place next month. The first is being held on Saturday, February 20th. The Oregon State University's annual Small Farms Conference, held this year in Corvallis, Oregon. As I understand it, this is the first year that the Small Farms Conference is offering a cut flower farming track. What does that tell you about the growing popularity of local flowers? On the following day, Sunday, February 21st, the second annual Pacific Northwest Cut Flower Growers are gathering, also at OSU. I've invited Aaron McMullen of Raindrop Farms, a past guest of this podcast, to share a preview of these two important events and to let you know how to get involved.
I'm so delighted to have on the line my friend Aaron McMullen. And Aaron and her husband, Aaron Gatsky, are past guests of this podcast. They own Raindrop Farms in Philomath, Oregon. I hope I'm saying that right. Hi, Aaron.
You're very close. Hello. In Philomath.
Philomath. Hello. Aaron, thanks so much for jumping on the line with me today. You are in the middle of planning with several other flower farmers two important events that will take place in February for cut flower farming. And I just wanted you to share a little bit of information with the listeners and tell people how they can get involved.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling and getting us on here. We have two events happening at the end of February. They're both sponsored by the OSU Small Farms Program, which is here at Oregon State University, which is in Corvallis, Oregon.
Right.
And the first of which is a Small Farms Conference. It'll take place on February 20th on the OSU campus. And it's a whole day geared towards small farms of every aspect, from meat production and veggie production to beekeeping and business planning. Those things. Yeah, it's a really great program. And this, for the first year, they've asked us to help them put together a flower track. So we're going to get to bring in, we have three sessions of flower goodness that we're going to have going on for that day.
I do think that's significant that this established small farming conference, which is run, OSU is the land-grant university in Oregon. It's the place where agriculture and horticulture get taught. But they've never had a cut flower track. And I think this is telling about what's happening in our community, that they see this as an important piece of education to share with people interested in farming.
Absolutely, yeah, it's very exciting. So I was asked to help by Nora Lindsay, who works up at PCC, Portland Community College, and Elizabeth Bryant of Rose Hill. The three of us have been working on it, and we've got three really great tracks set up for that day. And
wow.
Then the next day, we're going to be having a very focused cut flower farmers meetup for the Pacific Northwest Cut Flowers Farmers Group. And it's going to be held at the same location.
Okay.
But it'll be a more focused, it'll just be flower farmers.
I have a big smile on my face because that's when I think one of the first times, not the first time, but I guess the time I got to spend time with you and your husband, Aaron, when I came down to that, the first farmers meetup, flower farmers meetup a year ago, which was outside of Portland, and look what's happened in a year that now you've become, you have a Facebook page, you have this strong sense of community, and basically what's now going to be an annual gathering to share ideas and information. That's great.
Yes, we're really excited moving forward. We're really looking forward to establishing a network of small farmers here in the Northwest, cut flower growers, so that we can really utilize resources and each other as resources to further our farms as, you know, singular, but also as a group, and really to bring awareness to the fact that you can buy fresh local flowers here in the beautiful Northwest.
I agree completely. I love what I see on that Facebook page. How many people are on our members now, would you say?
I think we have about 80 members on Northwest.
Okay, it's called Pacific Northwest Cut Flower Growers.
Yes, I always forget whether we have it as PNW or as Pacific Northwest, but
people can find you. I'll put the link on the show notes.
That would be great. Yeah, it is out there, and, you know, we would love to see any sized farm, you know, from just starting up to seasoned growers become a part of it, because we feel like all of those voices are really important to bring to the table, and we're hoping that during our meetup on the 21st of February, we'll be able to really involve all of that experience.
That's
for
great.
Everyone to benefit from.
Well, even in this sort of grassroots way that Facebook page came out of last year's meeting, you just decided to start it, right?
Well, right. We really felt like there's a larger, we call it the main flower farmers page, that's a national and international page of flower farmers, and it's the resources and just the conversations and the information that is incubated there is so amazing that we really felt like regionally we could use that kind of information. We've been using it all year for, there are some people who've been using it for just information on growing style or what plants are really selling or pricing. One of the things that we are doing also is doing group buys through it. So we ordered a whole bunch of, for example, Lysianthus that are all going to be coming in together. We bought them as a group, and we're going to divvy them up. So it allows us to get a little bit better, a little bit more buying power, especially for the smaller farms that otherwise wouldn't be able to access those kind of buys.
That's great you mentioned that. I saw that you were kind of the instigator behind the Lysianthus buy. You posted a photo of the beautiful kind of...
I couldn't resist.
Celadon green variety. And so what happened? You just wanted it for your own farm, and you figured you'd get other people to take advantage of...
I wanted to try it, and Bailey Hale from Ardelia in... Are they in Maine? Oh, I'm going to get that wrong.
New England.
New England, yes, we'll say. He put together this buy to get... a plug grower to grow these plugs for flower farmers, and we wanted to try them, and so I put it up, and boy, we had great response to it, and a lot of people ordered them, so we'll have some really cool new Lysianthus growing in the Northwest from that order.
Well, and that's just one example, right? I mean, this has happened multiple times.
Yeah, it's been great, and it's really opened up a lot of dialect.
That's great.
People about what they're growing and what is successful, which, you know, every region is different, and the Northwest is unique in that we have a pretty long growing season, and we're pretty mild through the winter. So some things that may not grow in the same zone elsewhere in the country are fine here.
That's right. That's so exciting. So I'm really bummed that I can't come to Corvallis because I'm going to be involved with the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, those exact same dates. But maybe next year I can get my act together and be part of it again. Could you, you'll take photos and share all kinds of stuff, so I'm going to be there vicariously. Could you just tell people how they can best access information if they want to attend or at least get on your mailing list?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, you can go to the Pacific Northwest Cut Flower Farmers page on Facebook and request to join. Or you can email me directly, which is raindropfarms@peak.org.
Okay, and I'll put that on the show notes, too.
That would be great. And we can get you onto that email list. We have an online registration going, and I will be posting that also to the main flower farmers page, so that will be available for anyone who may not be part of the Pacific Northwest growers page yet.
I'll put that on Slow Flowers, too.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to encourage everybody, you know, whether it's your first year again or you're a seasoned grower, we really want to see you there. We really
want
as many people as we can get, and we want to bring in all kinds of voices to the table so we can really have a discussion about what we can do to really promote our flowers regionally.
Oh, that's great, Erin. And then the Oregon State University Small Farms Conference, there is a fee for that. Is that correct?
There is. That one, I'm gonna think that it's $45 for the day. It's not
okay.
A huge expense, and they have some great, you know, even if you are a seasoned flower farmer and you don't want to come and watch all of our flower farmer sessions, they have some great speakers. Chris Blanchard from the Farmer to Farmer podcast is going to be there speaking, so that's exciting. And then we have Shannon Algier from Stone Barns is going to be coming and speaking for our cut flower track.
That's so major. That's so exciting.
Yeah, we're really excited to have her, as well as a really great lineup of names from our region as well, so... We're going to have some great voices there.
Well, I hats off to you to taking the leadership with your core group to really make this more than just people caring about their own business, but caring about the community, because I feel like that's the only way we'll see growth and we'll change the definition of what flowers mean for our consumers and for florists. So I'm jazzed that you're doing it. I really hope people are listening can check it out, even if it's not accessible, if you don't live in the Northwest, take inspiration and maybe work with your own county extension agent or your own land-grant university and see if you can try to generate something like this in the future. And this is a good model.
It is. And, you know, just to also bring up the point that last year we didn't have any sponsorship to speak of at all, and it was all a grassroots farmers getting a hold of farmers. And so, you know, that's another thing to do if you're just out there thinking, I'm all alone. you know, there you're not. There's somebody close to you. There's someone in your region that you can hook up with, even if it's just via email or a phone call. It's so important. Build those relationships.
Yeah, Erin, you embody that, and of course, I wish you lived closer to me in Seattle, but I'm glad you're growing flowers in Corvallis, and I'm thrilled that this is happening, and we'll get the word out and try to get more people interested in tending, although I don't think you're going to have trouble getting registrants. I think you're going to be turning people away, because I know last year at the farmers meetup, you had to turn people away, right?
If we are space limited, so we certainly want to get as many, we want to get as many seats filled as we can, and then you know, we do have a cap as far as the room size, but we want to make it work. So even if, you know, we're going to get as many people in there as they'll let us.
Great. Great. Erin, thank you so much. Thanks for getting on the line with me. And we'll get this out to our listeners and via all the social media platforms. And thank you for sharing your personal email so people can reach out to you if they have specific questions that we didn't cover today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Deborah, for giving us the opportunity. We're so excited to have the platform to talk about our meetup.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Erin.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, I'm so excited to hear about the dynamic activity region by region where flower farming is exploding. We can attribute this growth to increasing demand from florists and consumers who value their domestic flowers. And isn't that what we're all working toward? To learn more about the two Oregon events, follow the links at deborahprinzing.com. The Slow Flowers podcast has been downloaded nearly 79,000 times by listeners like you. Thank you to each and every one for downloading, listening, commenting, and sharing. It means so much. Until next week, you're invited to join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging on to iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holtgertz. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.